as a textbook to teach Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore I have tremendous hakaras hatoiv. I've used it often to teach, and it's a kavod gadol to welcome Reb Pick into our Beis Hamedrash Nishmas Yisrael to say some different Torah l'chol Shabbos Kodesh.
Thank you. Shusar Rav Tuvin Hapshlita. Thank you for the invitation. In this week's Parsha, or Parsha Sazria Metzora, the bulk of the Parsha is about Tzoras. So I think we're going to discuss that a bit and see what lessons we can learn from it. Even though there's no Tzoras nowadays, there may be some practical issues which we can draw from the idea. The Parsha starts off with the woman who gives birth, and how she becomes Tahora, and then we talk about Bismillah, but most of the Parsha is talking about Tzoras. And Rav Hirsch writes at length at the end of Parsha Sazria that people are mistaken in thinking that Tzoras is some kind of leprosy or other physical illness. It's interesting that the word psoriasis, which is a disease of the skin, seems to be phonetically related to the word Tzoras. But there is nothing at all between the two. He explains it with many numerous proofs that the Tzoras we talk about in the Torah is a spiritual thing which comes out in physical symptoms, but it's a spiritual illness. For example, the Kohen has discretion whether to declare somebody Tomei, that the person who is going Mechutz Lamachaneh is only in a walled city, that the punishment is only applying to Jewish people, that kind of thing. So it's not just psoriasis, it's not just bald heads, it's something much more than that. And an interesting question which comes up is, how do we strike the balance between expelling somebody who we feel is Tomei and a bad influence maybe because of the averus that he's committed, but nevertheless we want to draw people in, we want to do kiruv rechokim. If somebody is ill, the Torah gives us a mitzvah to do bikur cholim, to visit the sick. But here, we're doing the complete opposite of that. We're driving somebody out. What sort of quarantine do we put the tsarua into? We have the word vihiskir. Vihiskir, there is in fact a machlokis rishonim about what this really means. Rashi says that this person has some sort of house arrest. He's put in a house, although as the Ksava Kabbalah says, we're not actually locking it. Sogar means to close. In Hebrew, I say, I need soger es adeles, I close the door. It doesn't mean I lock the door, I need noel es adeles. So that is what happens in the first instance if that person is quarantined. There is also the idea of going michutz lamachane, outside the camp, and we'll have a look at that. But the Rosh holds that this vehiskir isn't really a quarantine at all. It's simply marking out. It's signifying exactly where the blemish is on the skin, making some mark over it so that when he comes back to inspect it in 7 days' time, he'll be able to tell whether it's got bigger or whether it's got smaller. So that is the Rosh's opinion. But overall, there is the idea of treating the tsarua like a leper. Well, so is this the way we deal with kiruv rechokim and trying to be nice to people, drawing them in with bikur cholim and so on? That's one question. Another question I'd like to look at is, when you go through the text, even in a superficial way, you find what appears to be many repetitions. Just a superficial reading, you've got the words negatorasi in two psukim successive to each other, that phrase, or then you have the word sorasi in another couple of successive psukim. There the Sforno says, it's because Tzoras develops in stages, or it goes away in stages, and that's why you have these phrases. So it's not really a repetition. There's another example, the Ro'ah Kohen es Anega, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Gimel. So the Kohen sees the blemish, and then it says, Ro'ah HaKohen, immediately in the same verse. Well, why is there this kind of repetition? Then the word HaKohen, or Kohen, so many times. In fact, there are 47 psukim, and no less than 45 times have you got the word hakohen. V'uvo el aron hakohen, v'ro hakohen, v'ro ohu hakohen, v'iskir hakohen, v'tiaro hakohen. You know, why can't it simply say, well, the entire process is supervised, determined, and executed according to the advice of the kohen. That's it. But rather than mention him once, he's mentioned so many, many times in virtually every sentence. What's the idea behind that? two of our questions can be answered with one idea which comes from Rav Chaim Kamenetsky, and that is the repetitive Kohen idea is that the Kohen is a person of peace and of love and devotion. He's really showing compassion to this person in dealing with him. He's constantly visiting him, seeing how he is. So even though there's some sort of incubation involved, it's not really a dismissal as such. He's there to ease him back into society. And so he's taking care. I mean, this person who's being divorced from society, so to speak, must be going through a trauma. I mean, it must be causing some sort of psychological harm. All right, the person's made a mistake, he's done an avera, but it can't be pleasant socially to be excluded in the way that he is. So there, the Kohen is showing care and compassion, even though that person is outside the camp. He's basically saying to the person, we have not given up on you. And this also deals then with our question about, you know, Kira B'chokim and B'chokholim, that there is striking a balance here between punishment and rehab. Because we are dealing with the person's trauma, we're trying to make sure that the person does not go off the derech and that there is no risk to this person's future because of the constant attention being given to the Kohen. Now when the Pasuk talks about Soras, it says, Odom kiyeh be'or basoro, Odom. And a number of Mephoshim pounce on this idea that he's called Odom. Odom is a choshev expression. It's an important, dignified expression, just like we had with the Kavoros, Odom ki apriv mikem. There are a number of ways you can describe a person, ish and other words, but the word Odom is used. Rav Nissen Alpert explains that whilst the Torah is using this word Odom, it's to note that that person has a degree of importance about him. He could be a prestigious person. He may be a Talmud Chochom. He's an Odom Choshev. But a distinguished person can succumb as well, especially when it comes to the subject of Lashon Hara, which is a favorite of the school teachers when they're discussing this week's Parsha. Everything's about Lashon Hara. But really, Saras can come from a number of things. The Gemara in Arachin Tesvov, Teslayin, gives 7 reasons for Tzaras. The Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra Yudzayim Gimel lists 10 reasons for Tzaras. Om Reb Shmuel Ban Achmeni, Om Reb Yochanan, there's a number of things, Loshon Hara, Shfichas Domim, for murder, Shavuas Shov, false witnessing, Gilaros, Gassus Ruach, Hortinus, Gezel is theft, Tzaras Oyin, can mean Ayin Hara, or if a person doesn't lend something to a neighbor when he's able to, Avodah Zorah, Chilul Hashem, Birkas Hashem, so these are very fundamental things besides Lashon Hara, and Saras can come from any one of those. But the point which is made from the word Odom is that it could be somebody who's very important, someone very choshev in society, who just makes that small slip. We find this with Miriam HaNaviah. In fact, the Rambam, who usually just concentrates on Halacha when he writes Mishnah Torah, he actually goes into Musa in his Perek Teslayin in Hilchos Tumas Saras. He says, Isponenu ma'ir alu Miriam Hanaviah, see what happened to Miriam. She spoke about her husband, who her young brother, who she looked after, who she grew up, and she put herself in danger to save him from being thrown into the water. She didn't speak down on him. She made a mistake by equating him with Amunavim, and for that she got Saras. So we can see that Saras can even come to a Talmud Chochom, somebody who's Choshev in the Kehillah, and therefore it is very easy to slip, and one has to be constantly aware not to fall by the wayside in these small ways. Now we spoke about repetitions. And there's another pasuk which comes near the beginning of the parsha, Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel. Ra'a Kohena Sanega Ba'ara Bosor. So the Kohen sees this blemish on the skin of the flesh. Nega Tzarasu. It is clearly Tzaras. And then it says, V'ra'ahu HaKohen. Now, why is there this repetition, as we mentioned earlier? We spoke about the repetition of the word HaKohen. We spoke about the repetition Nega Sarasu, but here, the Ra'ah HaKohen, Ra'ah HaKohen, all in the same verse. And this question is picked up by the Meshech Chochma, who says, you know, the Torah doesn't waste its words. Why is there this repetition, Ra'ah HaKohen, just when you had the Ra'ah HaKohen? And he says, because there are really two different things going on here. The Ra'ah HaKohen is he looks at his skin. He looks at the blemish and he decides whether it's called Saras, and he paskens Tomei or Tahar. But there's something else which the Kohen does. Ro'ohu HaKohen means he's looking at the person as well. He's looking at his personality. He's looking at his Menschlichkeit. Is this person someone who is deserving of being punished? Or are we going to give him the benefit of the doubt? And in fact, the Gemara talks about where the Kohen has the discretion to decide not to call him Tomei now, or maybe to delay it. Maybe he's a chosan who just got married and he's in his Sheva Brachos week. And we don't want to spoil that, do we? So although you think there's something contagious or real Tomei about having Tzaras, that's not really the case. It's not something which is physically contagious. It is something which is a spiritual malady which needs attention. But if a person is in his wedding week and is busy with something obviously highly spiritual, or is simply coming on the first day Chol HaMoed, he sees this blemish on his skin, and the Kohen can decide, I won't decide anything now, come back to me in a week's time when Yom Tov is over. That is the discretion of the Kohen. And so, V'ra'ahu HaKohen, says the Meshech Chochmah, is not just a determination about the physical blemish and the color and the size. It is much more than that. He's looking at the personality of the person. Is he behaving like a mensch? Is he a true Torah Elech Yid? And this is something which can also influence the idea. And there's a story about Rav Chaim Zakrzynski, who was once approached by somebody in Vilna, somebody who wanted a letter of recommendation for his father, who was applying for a rabbinical post in another European city. And so he asked Reb Chaim Moser for a letter to give a haskama, so to speak. And Reb Chaim Moser felt that that person was not suitable for a rabbinical position, and he declined to write the letter. So he excused himself and said to the fellow, look, I'm sorry, I don't want to mix in politics and so on, I'm afraid I can't give you the letter. And this young man started yelling at him. He lost his temper. He started cursing Reb Chaim Moser, can you believe it? The leading Torah authority of his day. So Reb Chaim simply excused himself without saying anything. He walked out of the room and he did not say a word. So his pupil said to him, Rebbe, you know, how can you let those insults go by in silence? You are a Gadol Hador and you allow this young man to be so full of audacity towards you and to start shouting at you and cursing at you. He said, look, this person, he's worried about his father's livelihood. He means it well. He's got love and concern for his father. Of course he said things he shouldn't have said, but this was not the time and place for me to rebuke him, to put him in his place. He was a child trying to help his father. And this is the same idea of Ra'ahu HaKohen. He can determine from the nature of what's going on, to have a broader approach and to see what people nowadays might call a more holistic or constitutional approach to the person, but in a spiritual way. Not always is it fit for a person who may be Tomei to be pronounced as such immediately. So there's a two-step approach when it comes to this idea. Another big question which comes up with Tzaras is that there seems to be a major paradox. A major paradox in the sense, when a Kohen looks at a blemish on the skin, above a certain size, of course, gris or whatever it is, in the heat, he paskens Tomei or Tahor. But what if a week later he comes back to this person and he's covered head to toe, he's completely white from Tzaras? What's the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Tahoru. He is spiritually clean. It's not even for the Kohen to pasken, the Pasuk says. Now how can we understand this? A person is covered head to toe with Tzaras and he's called Tahor, but he's got a patch on his arm, and he's Tomei. And if it carries on, then he's Vehiskir, or we might even put him the Chutzla Machana afterwards. So what is this going on here? How can we understand this? How do we understand this paradox? You know, so a person might even be hoping that his Tzaras will spread and cover his whole body, and then he won't be excluded from the Machana. He won't be a cast out socially. The Ibn Ezra says that if a person's Tzaras comes out to the whole body, then it's a sign that the whole spiritual malady of Tzaras has been externalized. It's come out from the inside of his body to the outside. And therefore we don't have to worry about it anymore. The Chometz Chaim says that when this person is so fully covered, everybody can recognize him that he's got this whiteness or other color on his skin. So he's totally humiliated already. He's broken-hearted. He's embarrassed. And that is enough to give him the feeling of a punishment, to mend him in his ways, to get him to do teshuva. So the Chasam Sofer asks this question in his Perish Torah Moshe. He says there is a big paradox here. The whole body is covered in this color of tzaras. This looks like a physical disease. And yet, like we asked before, Yiddishkeit, we've got the mitzvah of Bikocholim, to be Bikarev people, to visit a person. But here we do not advise other Jewish people to visit him. He is banished from our society. He shall sit outside the camp, as the Pasuk says in Pasuk 46, at Mechutz L'Machaneh. So surely this flies in the face of everything the Torah is about, which is the very question we asked at the beginning. He says the Mitzvah has demonstrated that he is a danger to society. He's a Baal Lashon Hara or Baal Aveira or whatever it is. He causes strife amongst others. He causes separation between people. He causes machlokas. So the Torah requires us to separate from him. But he says the worst type of person, the worst type of person in society is somebody who is two-faced. Somebody who is masquerading as a frum guy. Oh, I'm a big frummer and I dress up with a big black hat and a long black coat. I'm a holy person, but on the side, secretly, this person is doing aveiros. He says that's the most dangerous person. Because a person who is generally a Baal Aveira, people know him for what he is. The person is Machal on Shabbos, he opens his shop and does eat straight of food. So we know him. We know that we keep our children away from him because he's going to be a bad influence in any case. But what we don't know is that there may be people mingling amongst ourselves in our midst who are a bad influence for others. And they look like they're part of the crowd. They struggle hard when they're davening and they're makbid on the heksher that they eat from the food. Everything seems okay with them. But privately, there may be something terribly wrong. And that is the person, he says, who is getting the tzaras, whom comes Tomei. Because that patch which is on his arm, he can cover up with his shirt sleeve. Just like the person who is masquerading as a frumma might be covering up his real self. But the person who is totally white from top to bottom, he can't hide the fact. Oh, we're not worried about him. We know who he is. We know he's a Baal Aveira. And therefore, that person, the Torah says, Toha, we don't have to expel him. Because on Tahit, maybe we can even Bikarev him. That is the explanation of the Chasam Sofer. But as we go through Perek Yud Gimel, which has some 47, 48 pesukim, at least, going through this whole business of the tzaras of the guf, of the body, there's a small paragraph which starts with Pasuk Mem at Shishi, or Shlishi this week, which talks about one particular type of tzaras, and that is the tzaras on the head. So there the Pasuk says, so if a person gets a bald patch at the front or at the back, okay, that's no problem, he's tahor. Don't have to be embarrassed if you've got a bald patch. But if in that white patch on his head, he gets a red streak, that is tzaras. Tzaras korachas hi, bekorachto, begabachto. So that is tzaras, whether it's the front or at the back. So if the Kohen sees it, it's got the appearance of tzaras on the skin, and that's tzaras, that's determined. He is Tomei. But then there's a very strange posuk, posuk mendalad. The posuk then says, ish tzoruahu, he has tzaras, well we know that. Tomehu, well we know that. Tameya Tameinu HaKohen, so the Kohen has to surely declare that he's Tomei, well obviously, we know that too. Barosh HaNigo, he's got a nigo on his head, well we know that as well, I mean we can see it. What a strange posuk, a most unusual thing, the Torah does not waste its words. And here we've got a whole posuk where every single phrase of it seems to be superfluous. So there's a very interesting nativ, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who writes on this posuk. Barosh HaNigo. He says, Yodala Tzaras Baal Chet. We all know that what Tzaras comes from, it comes from sin. But there's a difference between the Tzaras on the body and the Tzaras of the Rosh, of the head. There's something different here. Saras haguf bo al chet taiva. It comes from one's appetite, from one's lust, from one's physical excesses. A person gets carried away, he's meshubah to his yetzer hara. That is the saras of the guf. But saras harosh is something different. Bo chet deus meshuboshos. It comes from heretical ideas which he has in his head. So he says, those simonim which appear on the head, that is telling you something about his head, what's inside his head. One has to be more careful. Because that person who's got heretical ideas, he is the one who is causing others to sin. And when you look in the pasuk, Bozod, it says, Bozod yeshev mechutz l'machane moshavo. He is the one who has to go outside the camp. The posuk's talking about the fellow who's got saras on the head. It's not talking about the people who got saras on the guf. It's the guy who's got saras on the head. He's the one who has to go outside. All right, there is a drosha on the Sifra, which the Malbim comments on, that we can darshan this onto other kinds of Torahs as well. But the Torah is specifically giving this emphasis of expelling somebody to outside the camp. Why? Because he's got heretical ideas. It's not simply that he's been talking Lashon Hara or doing something like that. V'hikdim akosuv. And that's why the Pasuk starts off, it says, Ish tzoruahu tomehu. It emphasizes that person is the real Tzoruah. Tomehu, he is a real Tomei. And then the double expression of Tamei Yitamenu HaKohen says the Netziv, V'chol Zehu Tavoim Yotorim. It might look like extra words, but it's coming to warn you to be really careful of this guy, to be distant from him. Hamon Odom Yizaru Mimenu. Omnom Efsha Shakain Shadalka Lios Odom Godol. But the Kohen might think to himself, well, you know, the Kohen thinks himself as, you know, he's a holy man, he's constantly in full-time business of Torah and Tomei, and he's a godel. So the Kohen might get an idea in his head, saying, I'll have a chat with him, I'll sort him out, I'll be makariv into Yiddishkeit, I'll invite him round for a Friday night meal, give him some non-truma food maybe. No. If the Kohen says, I can handle it, the Pasuk is saying to him, don't. Just like, although the Gemara there in Perek HaMadir in Ksuvos talks about Rishu ben Levi, who says, by Zechut of learning Torah, I can work on other people and influence them. That's why the Pasuk says, Tomehu. And he is becoming Tomei. The Kohen, it says, Tamei Yitamenu HaKohen. If you look in the Pasuk, there's a little line between Tamei and Yitamenu, as if to divide the two words. Tomei. Yitamenu HaKohen, the Kohen will become Tomei. If the Kohen is mixing with him, because the Kohen wants to be Makariv him, the guy with heretical ideas to Yiddishkeit, that will make the Kohen Tomei. And that's why the Pasuk is saying this. The Kohen will forever become contaminated. So he thinks, oh, I'll be Mochicho, I'll do the mitzvah, Helchiach, Helchiach, Esamisecho. No, that doesn't work. Because that person has become heretical, once that happens, once that person is off the derech completely with heresy, and he says Torah is not min hashamayim, there's no point arguing. Just keep away from the guy. A person who is lustful, alright, that's bad enough, but it's not the same thing as heresy. I know a guy who once went on a shidduch with a young lady, very frum girl, very nice girl, you know, had the shadchan talks, wonderful milus. And he discovered she was teaching in a cheder which was run by the Reform synagogues. And he couldn't believe it. He said, why do you do this? She said, well, I want to be makariv them to Yiddishkeit. What, you want to step inside their baladamas, and you think you're going to be makariv them to Yiddishkeit? You're giving them legitimacy, you're giving them importance. That's not the way to be makariv them. So, it's not just saras we're talking about tonight. We're talking about practical, everyday dealings with people. Yes, we do want to do kirav v'chokim. We do want to draw people in. But we have to be careful that they're not going to contaminate us. And in fact, although we praise Avraham Avinu because he stepped out, he was Megayas Anoshim and Sarah Megayas Anoshim, and he brought people to recognize Hashem. And Noach was criticized, you know, Tzadik Tomim Omeh Bederosov. In his generation, he was okay. The Ksav Sofer says that Noach was 100% right. That Noach did not go and do outreach work. Because he knew that if he steps outside his Daradamus, his own family will become contaminated. Because the door in which he lived was so bad, was so influential and contaminating, that he knew that the best way to behave was not the way Avraham Avinu later behaved, but just to keep away from them. Shmuel Hanavi, it said that he went around the whole country teaching everybody, being makar of them, but when he came back to Roma just once a year, he had no nachas from his children. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when you look at Mefarshim, which talk about his descendants, things were not so clear-cut and good. And Rav Dessler writes to Mr. Melio, we think that we are influencing and affecting them, but really, they may be affecting us. So, our concept of Abikoros is not just somebody who is denying Torah min HaShemayim. And Abikoros has other definitions as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Tess on the base, says Rav Chanina Omrin on what is an Abikoros? Zehamavaze Talmidei Chachomim. Somebody who insults Talmidei Chachomim. I have to say that once I walked into a certain Orthodox synagogue and I saw davening at the Omud, on Yomim Eroim, a person, a from guy, he was Mavaze Talmidei Chachomim in public on the World Wide Web. Mavaza the Zionim, talking down on them. And this guy was leading those prayers in a very reputable Orthodox synagogue. We have to understand what is the definition of Nabikoros. There has to be a zero tolerance, no compromise. I'll end off by telling you a story about the Vilna Abikoros. In those days in Vilna, there were no Abikorosim. So it was a very unusual thing to find somebody who was one. And so this guy was very curious to find out what an Abikoros was like. So he decided to travel to Vilna and we'll find out what an Abikoros is. So he got to Vilna and he asked people for directions to the house of the Vilna Abikoros, and with people's help he found it. And he arrived there on a Friday, he got to the house and he looked through the window and there he saw him, the Vilna Abikoros. Choshev a looking guy with a long beard and payas and a long black coat. He saw him busily getting ready for Shabbos. He's polishing his shoes, laying the table, white, nice white tablecloth, took out the silverware, getting ready for Kiddush. This is the Vilna Abikoros. So he thought he'll follow him. The Vilna Abikoros leaves his house, goes to shul Friday evening. He watches him davening and he's shuffling and spending more time in the Shemona Esrei than everybody else. Can't believe it. Sees him going home, makes Kiddush, sings Zemiras. Following day in the morning, the same thing, sees him going to shul, doesn't shmooze in Kriyas HaTorah. Amazing. This is an Abikoros. Can't be. And he watches the whole of Shabbos, till after Shabbos he makes Abdallah, he just can't hold back the suspense anymore. And he knocks on his door and he says, excuse me sir, are you the Vilna Abikoros? He says, yes. Well, I can't understand it. What's that? Well, I can't understand it. I've been watching you for the last 24, 25 hours. Everybody told me that you're an Abikoros, and you'll be keeping all the mitzvahs. He answers, why shouldn't I keep the mitzvahs? Well, I saw you making kiddush and davening with kavana and eating the best hechshed food. Well, why shouldn't I keep Shabbos, eat hechshed food? Well, I thought you might do something lahachis, to annoy. To annoy? To annoy whom? That's the story of the Vilna Abikoros. We have to know that there are people who might have heretical thoughts, but it doesn't show. And that is the lesson we learned from Tzaras in this week's Parsha, that Hashem is in a way doing a favor for Klal Yisrael by revealing the weaknesses of people which are hidden from the community by coming out with Tzaras. Because otherwise, these facts would not be well known. If somebody's covered head to toe with Tzaras, the Rosh Hashanah, yeah, okay, we know about him. But we don't know about these people who are covering up. It's an important lesson for all of us to be aware of who is mixing not only amongst ourselves but also amongst our children. And the story of Rav Chaim Ozer Krajinski was that we're talking about reforming others and doing Kira Rechokim. You start off in life, you think like you can change the world. As you grow older, you think you can just about change your community. You grow older still, you think you can just about change your family. And as you get older still, you feel you might just about have enough time to reform yourself. Thank you very much. Thank you.